This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. I love Active Skin Repair. So I've got the boy who is a lifeguard, loves being outside, but is pretty pale. And even though I'm on his case about the sunscreen, he gets sunburns. Active Skin Repair is super helpful when that happens. My husband is a total worker guy, tinker around in the shop, getting cuts and scrapes all the time. We literally use this Active Skin Repair, I mean, just all the time. It's always in use at our house. And it's not just for cuts and scrapes and burns. It also can be used for rashes and other types of skin damage. It's also safe and non-toxic, making it suitable for use on all skin types, all parts of the body, even on rosacea, eczema, and acne-prone skin. Seriously, all the things. I'm stoked about this sponsor. You can go to www.activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order when you use the code JOYFUL. So again, go to www.activeskinrepair.com and use the code JOYFUL for 20% off your order. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Joyful Courage Podcast, a place where we tease apart what it means to be a conscious parent and a conscious human on the wild ride of parenting teenagers. I am your host, Casey O'Rourke. I am a positive discipline lead trainer. Yes, that's new and exciting. I'm a positive discipline lead trainer, parent coach, and mama walking the path right next to you as I imperfectly raise my own two teens. Joyful Courage is all about grit, growth on the parenting journey, relationships that provide a sense of connection and meaning, as well as influential tools that support everyone in being their best selves. As you listen in on today's show, pay attention to how grit shows up in the conversation. Also, if you're not already on my email list, now is the perfect time to join. I pop into my subscribers' inbox with stories, podcast news, and offers every week. My hope is to make you laugh a little, or at least relate to what I have to share, and keep you updated on all the Joyful Courage goodness. If you're into it, go to joyfulcourage.com/email and sign up. Signing up right now will get you the 7 tips for connecting with your teens. I'll share with you 7 tips over 7 days that, if you put them into practice, will make a difference in your relationship with your kids. Each day you'll get an action step and a bonus step if you're feeling like an overachiever. Again, that's joyfulcourage.com/email. Sign up and stay more connected. Thank you so much for listening. I am deeply honored to lead you, so grateful to hear that what I put out matters to you, and so excited to keep it coming. If you love this show, please take a screenshot and share it on your social media. Let your friends know you're listening and find value in the podcast. Tag me and I will reshare it in my media channels as well. All right, enjoy the show. Listeners, I am so excited to introduce my guest for today. Her name is Liza Blass. Liza is the host of the Very Happy Stories podcast. She brings hope, empowerment, and inspiration to her audience by shining light on complex topics impacting many families today. Liza's stories are inspired by her own experiences raising 2 kids, both suffering from conditions like depression, anxiety, ADHD, OCD, and even Lyme disease. Liza shares her best practices through her Very Happy Stories podcast, speaking engagements, and personal coaching, where she serves as a thrive guide. I love that. Thrive guide to parents who are struggling. Before launching her podcast, Liza was a successful commercial real estate broker specializing in the development of medical facilities, surgical centers, and built to suit. Built to suit. I'm so corporate. Like, I know all the language. Anyway, hi. Hi, Liza. Welcome to the podcast. So glad you're here.
Hi, Casey. I am so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Fill in the gaps. Tell us a little bit about how you went from the built to suit properties to your podcast and the coaching and the work that you're doing.
Sure. Yeah. So I was really in this corporate world of build to suit properties.
built to suite, something different.
You know, I was very successful, but behind the scenes at home, I was kind of living this secret life of suffering. Both of my kids, just as you had mentioned, have been impacted by so many struggles, mental illness and chronic illness. And it's something that I didn't talk about. Mm-hmm. And I was really on the sidelines going through this separate journey of healing. And just when I thought it couldn't get any harder, the universe dropped a big old lemon on us in the form of Lyme disease. And that really was the moment where I decided to shift gears and really embark on this Lyme journey and really focus on getting my kids healed and healing our family at the same time and helping others. And so shortly after, I was like, I got to share my stories. I don't know how to share them. I got to share them. I had so much written down in my journal and I decided to share my stories through a podcast. Mm-hmm. And that's really how it all started.
So let's go back in time a little bit. So you're doing your career, you're doing your thing. First of all, I don't even know what is Lyme disease? I don't know what the nuances of Lyme disease. I mean, I know it's a disease, but I don't really know what it entails. Like, what does that mean when you find out that that's in your family? And was it both your kids? Everybody?
Yes. It was both my kids. It was both my kids. And you know what? I can answer the question of how it presents itself by just maybe even going down a timeline for you.
Yeah.
And you knowing upfront that the root cause of a lot of our problems was Lyme disease, and it just went undiagnosed. And so is the story for so many people and children and families in America. And when you ask somebody, well, what does it mean when you have Lyme disease? Well, it's different for everybody. Some people have joint pain. Some people have migraines. Some people are debilitated with chronic fatigue. Mm-hmm. For my kids, the biggest impact was brain inflammation. Mm. And so I could tell you early on for my son, he's now 12 in the seventh grade. He started having issues as early as the second grade. We're kind of like one day, he just had crazy anxiety. And he kind of had never been right since. I started with school refusal and some panic in second grade. He was also complaining about his leg during basketball. We thought maybe he was just trying to get out of sports, right?
Sure,
we didn't.
Sure,
yeah, I'm like, your leg's fine. Your leg is fine.
Yeah.
Third grade, he was in full-fledged school refusal. By the time we got to fourth grade, Casey, it was the year he entered his first of two partial hospitalization programs for anxiety, depression, school refusal, and suicidal ideation. Mm. He was 9.
Oh, Liza.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he's kind of been, you know, working this whole time with his mental health. He also has ADHD. So it's just been very difficult because there's a lot of shaming that goes on with children that have ADHD and learning differences in the school system. And he really just couldn't catch a break.
Yeah.
He also had a lot of physical problems with sleep apnea, restless legs, terrible sleep. And my daughter started, she's always been anxious. And so that's nothing new for her. But by the time she was in sixth grade, things were getting really bad. Mm-hmm. Seventh grade, she had a full-fledged eating disorder.
Mm.
And so I did a program with her as well. Her eating disorder was tied to OCD and panic attacks. Now that OCD component was very much tied to Lyme disease, but we didn't know it at the time. And she's now a freshman in high school. And so here we are working with psychiatrists, utilizing the best interventions medically with medication, therapy, all different kinds of therapy. Mm-hmm. And my kids were never getting better. Mm-hmm. And they would get a little bit better like the first 2 to 3 months, and then they would slide back and get worse. Mm-hmm. Until my daughter started having severe hallucinations.
Oh my gosh. Liza, yes. Can we just pause for a minute? I just want to be like, mama, I mean, mm-hmm. It's one thing to have one child who's yes. really struggling, but both of your kids, I mean, I'm thinking about the ages that you're talking about and remembering young. You how mm-hmm. you told me their age different. Like this is all, both of these things are happening simultaneously. Yeah.
They were kind of ping-ponging. Yeah. You know, I feel like sometimes children get a sense of like when you have too much on your plate, they'll really try because they really
they'll
don't want to burden
in.
You. They will yeah, rein no, no, no. Yeah. their shit in. And as soon as I will get one in a program and work yeah. and then out of the program, then the other one, it really what I was doing was creating space for the mm-hmm. other one to now fall apart.
Right.
Because they couldn't wow. hold it together anymore. So there was a ping pong balance mm-hmm. for a good 4 years.
Oh my goodness. Mama.
Back and forth. And like, you know what? You're not using that psychiatrist anymore because he's got a better one. We're going over here.
Right.
And I just built this network of practitioners mm-hmm. over the years. Like did you name
find,
it, we did it.
Yeah. Did you find... Well, I love DBT. I talk about DBT. Oh, yeah. I bet you guys yeah. did that.
We did ERP, EMDR. Mm-hmm. We did ERP, the exposure response stuff mm-hmm. for OCD. Now, we've got every acronym under the sun, I feel, these days.
How did you keep it together?
Honestly, Casey, it was the work that gave me a place of my own to focus on. So I would tap in and tap out.
Yeah.
And balance myself out so that I didn't just work mental health 24/7. I would go really hard, especially if I needed to find something for them. Like every time we had to go back into program, mm-hmm. I'd work really hard and qualify places for my kids. And once we got situated, then I would tap out a little bit and then go right back into work. And so I think that balance mm-hmm. helped sustain my mental endurance.
Okay. Because that sounds like, I mean, I have my own journey with that and with one kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, we were laughing before we hit record about like, okay, well, look at what the universe thinks we're capable of. Like, does what I preach really mm-hmm. work? Right. And it's that choosing in and being willing to recognize when it's time to tap out, recognize. And I'm also curious because I know I work with a lot of parents and my own experience as well of finding providers is mm-hmm. a full-time job. Where are you located?
I'm located in the Chicago suburbs.
Okay.
So you have a lot of amenities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because that was really hard for me was finding, it took a long time and wait lists were like, I mean,
oh,
what's the point?
Are.
What's the point in telling people that there's a year-long wait list? Like, just take yourself off the internet for a while, please.
Right. Or provide other referrals in the meantime, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So I interrupted you. You were talking about your
Anytime.
Daughter. And now, and so here they're having all these things, all mm-hmm. these unbelievable things happening.
Yes.
What was the moment of Lyme disease being the
I'll
catalyst?
Tell you how I got there.
Tell me.
The hallucinations were happening so frequently.
And like, what does that mean? Like, what kind of hallucinations was she having?
Auditory,
like,
physical, and visual. So at its worst, she would literally be attacked by an entity. Did not exist, that we don't see. Mm-hmm. And she'd be sweating and crying and screaming. Oh. It was bad. I mean, so these types of things like even created PTSD for my son then. And so there's this ping pong, right, of each of their hardships and struggles, the other one feels. I mean, they're both very sensitive creatures, and so am I. And so there's been a lot of healing that's needed to take place. Yeah. But how I got to Lyme disease is by sharing my story. I'm one of those people that learned to really get help. I can't live in isolation and I can't hide my reality. And I started being very open to people and to anyone that would listen. And I also started kind of like opening my network of reaching out to other moms. Mm-hmm. And that is what got me to Lyme disease, because I shared my story with a woman who is, she was like an acquaintance, but now she's a really good friend of mine. At the time, she was an acquaintance, and she said, Liza, I don't mean to make you jump down a rabbit hole, but you really should look into Lyme disease. I have a friend whose daughter presents in a really similar way, and she has Lyme.
Wow.
And when she said that to me, it resonated. I was like, oh, I do need to look into that. And I did. And I learned that even when we talk about hallucinations, I learned on the internet that one of the first lines of defense that they treat somebody with schizophrenia is antibiotics.
Oh, really?
Yes. Why is that? It's the craziest thing. But there is this connection between, and maybe people are just being misdiagnosed even with schizophrenia, mm-hmm. with schizoaffective, because mm-hmm. because of the hallucination component, mm-hmm. right?
Well, that's and what I was thinking when you were talking about it. I was like, well, was she
yes,
schizophrenic?
I actually, speaking of that, I took my daughter to one of the top university hospitals in the nation here in Chicago, mm-hmm. had my daughter do a full evaluation, and I said, I am bringing her here because I want to know if she has schizophrenia or mm-hmm. schizoaffective. I want her to have the best protocol possible.
Sure, and information.
Yes. Yeah. And she came to the conclusion that my daughter had just really, really high anxiety. And at baseline, my daughter was like at a 10. Mm. She's like, she does not fit the profile. So, you know, I actually worked with a Chinese medicine doctor already, mm-hmm. just because we had all these other
sure.
issues of like chronic fatigue, constipation, a lot of physical ailments okay. that like the doctors couldn't help us with.
Yeah.
And my Chinese medicine doctor said, oh, yes, you must do a Lyme test. You're right. We need to do that. She had the kit in her office. It's a special test called Igenix. It's not your standard Western blot. Mm-hmm. The Western blot is so, it's just not accurate. So we did Igenix, and she had Lyme disease and co-infections. And so once she came back positive, I tested my son and he came back too.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, you know, there is that moment of relief where mm-hmm. you start realizing I'm not crazy, mm-hmm. you know, that I'm, and I'm a good parent. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't the parenting.
Yes.
And we just went to treatment and that's kind of started its own journey right there. But that's kind of, you know, being open and sharing my story is kind of what got us where we needed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and probably is also getting others. I mean, obviously, you continuing to share on a higher level with a bigger platform is supporting others
yes.
too, I think.
Yes.
Hey, friends. As a podcast listener myself, I always get so excited to share when I find a new show that I think is super useful. So today I want to tell you about Understood Explains. This is a podcast that tackles one important topic per season. And this season is all about navigating individualized education plans and is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Ertube. Getting the support our kids need in school can feel tricky, and we aren't always sure what it is that they need. When I listened to the episode titled, Does My Child Need an IEP? It offered up so much useful information that I could really see supporting parents who are in this consideration. The host is so knowledgeable and really breaks down the content in a way that helps listener go from completely overwhelmed to actually starting to feel empowered. Other episodes in the series highlight the difference between IEPs and 504 plans, as well as a whole episode that busts common myths about special education. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains wherever you listen to podcasts. That's Understood Explains. So check it out. You won't be sorry.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. While you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah. And I, you know, I kind of want to say, God bless people like you and me who aren't ashamed or afraid of being vulnerable and open and transparent because, you know, and I'm just saying this for those of you that are listening who feel alone and, you know, feel like you're, like I like to say, you're not in your own private freak show. Okay. You're not. And
so
find
true.
Your people, find Liza, find me. So, okay, so you find out, yes, Lyme disease, mm-hmm. whoa, okay, and you start mm-hmm. treatment. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, is Lyme disease just one of those random things like, you know, my husband last year was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, which is blood cancer, and they're basically like, there's no reason why. There's no, like, correlation to lifestyle or anything. Is Lyme disease like that? Or is it catchy?
You know what?
Or do they know?
It's a big mystery. They know, but they don't really talk about it. It can be transmitted by a tick, but you know,
the truth is
it's so much more rampant than that. You can get it from a spider bite. You can actually even get it from, mosquitoes. I mean, it's like a whole other rabbit hole, but the biggest defense for Lyme, besides just like a bug spray and like wearing long clothing and covering yourself, mm-hmm. is having a healthy immune system. Mm-hmm. And so many people with Lyme disease don't have healthy immune systems. And that's where I believe having anxiety and depression kind of sets you up to being a little bit more vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because it stresses your immune system. Mm-hmm. Now, I have an autoimmune. I have Hashimoto. So, you know, I'm working with a stressed immune system that's not up, you know, it's not like the strongest. And I've talked to so many moms that have kids with Lyme disease. And it's so interesting to see that so many moms have autoimmunes. Mm-hmm. And so you do wonder, are we passing some type of immune deficiency to our kids? Mm. Who knows?
Who are playing with ticks and... No,
well, you know,
kidding.
My kids were the kind that were like running in the grass and rolling down hills and like playing in creeks and like, I don't know. We don't know. My son went camping with my husband. My daughter went to summer camp.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, but I think a lot of kids have those same experiences, but their immune systems are just stronger.
Sure. Sure. So moving forward, you guys go into treatment and what are you seeing with the symptoms of their kids? Like was it dramatic? What was it like?
Well, it's terrible, actually. Mm. It's a chronic Lyme is very sad because you have this whole other institution invalidating that it even exists. You know, if you get a tick bite and a rash, they'll put you on antibiotics and they'll treat you and you'll be done. But if it kind of manifests like it did for my kids, where you mm-hmm. never had a bullseye rash and it just kind of was like a slow and steady thing, mm-hmm. you can't be treated in the Western medicine world. So you have to find special doctors like LLMDs, so they're Lyme literate MDs, Chinese medicine, functional medicine. Anyway, the regimen is really either herbs, an herbal protocol when you're chronic, or antibiotics. I did both for my kids, and it's kind of like when you have cancer, the chemotherapy makes you sick and it makes you feel worse. Mm-hmm. That's like what it's like for treating Lyme. You're killing off Borrelia bacteria, and now you have this thing called die-off, and it really makes you feel worse. So long story short, the journey did get worse. But we are kind of restarting. My daughter, actually, I just got back from an international trip with my daughter. She did a whole body hyperthermia, which is amazing.
Is that like the cold bath?
It's actually the hot zap. It's hyperthermia.
Oh, got it.
So you're sedated and they heat you up to between 107 and 109 and it kills Lyme disease.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where did she have to go to get that done?
We went to Mexico out of all places. You could go to Mexico or Germany.
Wow.
And it, which is a journey all in itself. So she is on the upswing. She's doing amazing. My son, I would love to take him there. He's not ready. So we're taking a break from his treatment and starting back up again in like 2 weeks. He's kind of pulsing and taking a break, but we're still in it. We're still in it. We're on the upswing, but he's still in treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Mama.
I know. I know. But you know, you'd be surprised how the struggles of your children get you where you need to be.
Oh yeah.
You know, I've had to show up. I've had to, so much of helping them is me working on myself, healing myself, dealing with my own demons, getting over all the things that hurt me in the past, because I need to be the most empowered version of myself.
Oh, yeah.
I need to feel and believe that they're going to be okay, that you guys, we're going to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
I have to believe that and walk that walk to raise their vibration.
Yeah.
Because I can't jump down the rabbit hole with them.
Right.
Of like misery and sorrow.
Right. So, and there's a choice there. But there is a choice. And that's what's so fascinating to me. You know, hearing your story, knowing my own story, knowing the stories of so many people that I work with, you know, and friends and family, and just watching from the outside looking in the way that people decide how they're going to move through life challenges. Like there's, there's always a choice and there's an opportunity. You know, it's not so much like your story. I mean, it's still a struggle. You know, my husband still is in cancer treatment, and my goal is like, okay, so what does peace feel like inside of this? Right? How can I be in peace, at peace, whatever that means to me? I mean, to me, that just means not in, you know, dysregulation. Peace means being in acceptance. Peace means like allowing life to unfold and trusting that everything is temporary. And I mean, and I'm hearing that in what you're saying as well. I mean, you have every right and reason to be like, to have chosen, you just fall apart, right?
Yeah.
And you didn't.
Well, I had moments where I did fall apart. I had moments like on my knees in the kitchen being like, make this stop. Why are you doing this? You know, and everybody should give themselves the permission to fall apart. But you know what? You just got to get back up.
Right.
It's all about getting back up. And I do want to give my kids the space to fall apart, because when you see your friends, you know, going to parties, well, not now in this COVID world, but being kids and having that robbed from you and not playing sports and having that typical life, it is sad. And and you do have to grieve those moments. But that being said, we still have great cards. Like we still have so many good things. Yeah. We just need to uncover those and lean into those. And I know for my daughter, especially Casey, she is so empowered for being so young. She's not going to put up with anyone's shit. Mm-hmm. She's not going to be ever pressured to do anything she doesn't want to do. She's just lived such a struggle and survived. And yeah. I know that when she goes off to college or grows up, that she's going to be okay, that she can handle it because yeah. she's been through. And that's a gift.
Yeah.
I mean, that is such a gift to be like, I trust my daughter. She's going to be fine. No, I really, really trust her. I really, really mean it. She's yeah. going to make good decisions. What a gift.
Yeah.
That yeah. is to have.
Huge. Well, I feel the same way like about this last year and, you know, the mental health struggles that have shown up and the, you know, my husband's stuff, like we didn't know how rock solid we all were,
right?
You know, until confronted with all of this. So I love that. And I do really appreciate you saying, you know, that it's when I say there's a choice to fall apart or not fall apart. I want everyone to hear me when I say that doesn't mean that not falling apart, you don't have days or even, you know, sure. multiple days of that whole, like, I don't want this. This is too much, you know? But again, there's that choice point mm-hmm. of, okay, great. I see that. I feel that. I'm allowing that. And this is what's in front of me. So what is being asked of me? You know, I love thinking about it that way too. Like, you know, I say it kind of flippant, like, oh, the universe really has a high level of trust in me. But like, wow, you know, I'm here for it. And like,
yeah,
if this is what is being presented, then there must be some level of, you know, I must be made for this, because otherwise, why would it be presented to me?
Exactly. Exactly. And that is speaking to acceptance.
Yeah. Talk to me about how, yeah, because you talk about acceptance and gratitude. And so talk to me about how those tools have come in for you.
Oh, they're so important. I mean, you just hit the nail on the head. I mean, acceptance really, I believe, is 90% of the work.
Oh, yeah.
In getting there. And I think it presents itself as such work because we're in resistance. And resistance is so much energy. Yeah. I mean, resistance is exhausting. And I think once we get to acceptance, that's like your pivot point. It's like being stuck in the mud. And then when you accept, all of a sudden you're like sliding down a hill. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the wheels are in motion. And I think people really need to realize when you hit acceptance, that's when everything will start to flow and mm-hmm. get actually easier. You're going to mm-hmm. get to your answers faster. You're mm-hmm. going to find the people you need to find. You know, everything is going to start clicking and connecting, but you can't get to that path until you accept. And acceptance too is just about like the here and the now.
Yeah.
At this moment in time, I like, this is happening. Mm-hmm. Accept that it's happening right at this moment. It's like, it's nothing more than that. It's just accepting the current state of affairs.
Yeah. People have such an interesting relationship with acceptance, you yeah. know? I mean, I get it. Like why, like it, you know, it can be really challenging. It can be, well, I think people can get confused about what acceptance means, you know, acceptance. Right. Is not the same as like being excited about it.
No, exactly. You don't, yeah. I mean, you don't have to be shaking your pom-poms with, you know, and, right. and like, yay, I'm so excited this is happening. Yeah, I agree. It's really a neutral thing. Mm-hmm. I mean,
love that.
I yeah. accept this as a neutral statement.
Yeah.
And I also feel like, I think you're right. People have funny, not funny, but different perspectives on it. Mm-hmm. I don't see acceptance as surrendering. I think people work so hard in resistance that they're like, ugh, screw it. And then you like lay down your sword and then like the fight is over and you've surrendered. That's not acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Acceptance is just acknowledging this moment in time, this is happening. There's nothing I can do about it. I accept this so that change can come. Yeah. But when we surrender to something, you know, you're kind of not letting yourself be open then to the future, because the future is still unwritten. There's so much more that can happen after the acceptance point. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to surrender. Like, for instance, I accept that my kids have Lyme disease. Mm-hmm. I do not surrender to the notion that they are going to be sick all the days of their life. Like, that's mm-hmm. not a reality mm-hmm. for me. I don't surrender to that. You know, I accept that my kids need to be on medication. I don't believe they're going to be on medication forever. You know, like yeah. they change, people yeah. change, hormones change, people grow. And just because we're on some type of med now doesn't mean we are going to be on it 3 years from now, or maybe we are. I mean, you got to keep yourself open. And that's part of acceptance too. It's just a yeah. moment in time.
Well, and I think it's interesting, like the semantics of it, because I love the word surrender. And I hear what you're talking about it as far right. as like, it feels a little bit more like, okay, I surrender, I'm done. But when that's I think final. About surrender, yeah, I actually think a lot along how you're talking about acceptance. Like, I'm going right. to surrender to my, you know, my kids. You listen to my show with my daughter. So a yeah. lot of acceptance and surrendering to the fact that, you know, her journey, her path was not one that I can predict. It was not one that I saw coming, you know, and it even was not necessarily one that was easy for me to come to acceptance around. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for me, when I think about surrender, it's really surrendering, you know, surrendering my conditioning, surrendering my ideas around control. But again, I think we're talking about the same thing completely, because
so yes,
that's what it is. It's just like, here we are in this moment. And as much as, you know, the Buddhists say resistance is the yeah, root of all yeah. suffering, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's so true. And it's so painful when the people that we love, and you can see them just in that resistance, and it's like, oh, like it's a piling on, right? It's a piling on. So acceptance and gratitude too. Talk to me about gratitude, because I know I have my own relationship with gratitude, just with everything that we've been through. And man, is it powerful.
I think gratitude is so powerful. For me, I use it as a tool, as kind of as a reset button too. Mm. I mean, it's something that I practice every day, but I find it especially useful when I'm in a funk, when I need to get myself out of my funk, when I need to shake it off. I had a situation last month where I had come into close contact with someone that tested positive for COVID. And so it kind of put me in a place where, like, well, I needed to quarantine, and I was trying to get a test, and I was getting so stressed out, and it just messed with my head. And yeah. I was really projecting a lot of fear and anger towards everyone else that lived in my house, and mm-hmm. walking, you know, in my house with a mask because I couldn't get a test. And finally, Monday rolled around. Like, that happened on a Friday. Monday rolled around, and I was like, I need to do a 3-minute meditation this morning and just focus on some gratitude journaling. And the gratitude helped me get my mindset straight. Mm-hmm. That's how I use gratitude too, mm-hmm. in the reset button. And I do, I mean, I know during my hardest times with my kids, I am a big journal person. And I really wrote it all down. I wrote down all the suffering. And I was amazed at looking back at my journal that even then there were parts of gratitude mm-hmm. that yeah. I put in there. I think I'm just one of those people that, like, can find it a little bit easier, but I think yeah. it's important for everybody to practice.
Right. That's it too. I think it's such an important practice, and I'm the same way. You know, it's interesting. And it's interesting to talk to other people. I'm sure you had this experience as well. When you share your story, there's a variety of ways that people will respond, right? Mm-hmm. And God bless the people. But I find myself, especially when people are, you know, I think they go into their own, like, oh my God, like they go into their own, like, what would I do? How would I handle that? And then they're in their spin out around them responding to us. I notice that for me, I've spoken a lot into just, I mean, it like if there has to be purpose. I feel like gratitude supports the idea that some of the really hard, challenging things that there is some, I mean, I can't define the rhyme or reason. I can't name it, but when I can recognize like how strong my family is because of it or the depth of our connection because of it, it allows me to release that like, but why us? Right. You know, it allows me to just sit with like, oh my gosh, so many gifts.
Yes, kind of let go of some of the grief too somehow of all that stuff, which actually, yeah, I do see that with gratitude. And one other tool I just wanted to mention, Casey, is because we've talked about acceptance, we've talked about gratitude as empowerment tools, and for me also tools for happiness. But the one that I think we've actually talked about through acceptance and gratitude is my third one, and that's forgiveness. That's where the whole letting go and grieving some of our, you know, letting go of some of our grievances, if you will. That piece of the empowerment toolkit is so important. I try to practice forgiveness so that I can heal myself. I feel like when we withhold forgiveness, we are actually harming ourselves. And I've just, with my kids, I've just really been on that quest for happiness and finding joy despite everything that we're going through. And I have had to fold in forgiveness. And that's a daily practice too. They don't call it practice for nothing, right?
Yeah, right. Well, tell me more about forgiveness. So like, what does that look like to you in your experience?
For me, it's, well, it shows up in that so much of how I interact with my kids that has been harmful to them in their journey of mental illness. A lot of the things that I have said or done or maybe have participated in shame tactics. I know I contributed a lot to my daughter's perfectionism. So much of that comes from my own wounds as a child. You know, and some of the things that my parents did to me. I mean, it's like all this cycle. So for me to correct that behavior, my behavior, the behavior I'm talking about, for, order for me to correct that and correct that parenting style, I needed to have an awareness of why I was doing it. And then once you have the awareness, well, then you just have to add the forgiveness because I think there's parts of me that are, that we're still angry at my mom and we're still holding grudges. And it, you know how those show up are in triggers when you're getting triggered by moments that are so harmless, you know, like a harmless little comment that your mom said or your daughter said or your husband said. And you just have like this emotional reaction. When you keep having those emotional reactions, your kids are responding to that. Maybe not verbally, but there's a response in them too. So see, there's like this whole chain of events that needs to take place. And I'll do anything to heal my kids. And if that requires me to do my own work in healing and forgive my parents or a friend or someone that's really done me wrong, by golly, I'll do it. Because I'm really wanting so badly to support them. So it's like we all have to do our work. And that is where forgiveness has folded its way into my empowerment life.
I love it. I love it. And I love the focus on forgiving ourselves.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck. And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it?
We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
So, join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. Because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking it. If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
I also, you know, as I was listening to you talk, I work with a lot of parents who, you know, especially right now with COVID and just the way of on everything in the world right now, there is so much stress on our teens and they are responding the way that they know how. And I know that there's a lot of people in some pretty tumultuous relationships with their teens. And when you were talking about forgiveness, what came to mind for me was also, you know, forgiving our kids. I think it's so easy, you know, even when it's not their fault. I mean, even when it's like something like a mental health issue or Lyme disease or whatever.
Yeah.
And it is a little bit like, come on, I was in this too. I this was not the picture that I had.
I know.
Of parenting. And so I think if we're all willing to be super honest with ourselves and kind of do some exploring there, you know, part of, because a lot, you know, I'll talk to parents about, well, you know, I hear you on all of these behaviors that you want to change. But what I'm also seeing and hearing is a relationship that is, you know, damaged. Mm-hmm. And coming back, and sometimes that first step in can simply being, you know, forgiving our kids for having only the skills that they have. Right?
Absolutely. Yes. I think that's important. And my son is only 12, but we've definitely had moments in our relationship where we should go to marriage counseling. we're fighting like crazy. And we have done a lot of family therapy. And mm-hmm. one of the biggest things that was the game changer for me in order for me to be happy and come again from a place of neutrality mm-hmm. is don't take everything so personally.
Oh, girl.
Yeah. I mean, right? Yes. Yeah, like forgive them. But at the same time, when, you know, when his 12-year-old mouth is running, this has nothing to do with me.
Yeah. Right. Nor does it have to do with like, it's not a respect conversation. That's totally. When I hear a lot is like, yes. You will be, they're so disrespectful. It's like, yes, and let's reframe here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's tough. Right. And I love that you are bringing it back to like that inner work and the work that we have. And I think that it's all relative, right? The collective experience, we all have the collective experience of raising kids and there's similarities on the path. And then there's the special little nuances and flavors that, you know, people get. You have yours, I have mine. And I think it's so easy as moms, especially, and it's interesting that we're having this conversation because I just interviewed someone this morning who wrote Fed Up, the emotional labor book.
Yes.
It's very, very good. Gemma Hartley.
Yes, I've seen her speak, actually.
Oh, cool. Well, I interviewed her earlier today. Amazing. And we talked about, you know, the emotional load falling on women and, you know, and when our kids are having and going through stuff, you know, you didn't share very much. I'm sure that your husband was a great supporter, but you didn't share very much about him. You know, you were the warrior mom finding what needed to be done, finding the people. Right. So, and I asked you at the beginning, like, how did you, and you talked a little bit about tapping out, and I think it's so easy for parents, especially parents with kids that have any kind of unique needs, to really put themselves to the side. And I think even if you're just a parent with a teenager who's typical, you all listening too, you too, you know, mm-hmm. this self-care is non-negotiable.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, I've had.
Yeah, talk to me about how you coach people around that.
This whole self-care, self-sacrifice thing, I mean, that's huge right now, right? Yeah. And I have had to realize the hard way that self-sacrificing practices are not, they're not only harmful to us, mm-hmm. because they're exhausting. They lead to nowhere good. No good comes out of it for us.
Yeah.
But worse than that, it is harmful to our kids. Because we start doing it because we want to help them and we love them and we tend to their needs and we then start putting them first. But what we actually start telling them is, baby, you can't handle this. Mm-hmm. You can't handle life. Mommy's going to do it for you. And I really did fall into that. And I think that's one of the reasons why I really did embrace my work, mm-hmm. and my job as a commercial real estate broker, is because it gave me the opportunity to kind of balance some of that out. Had mm-hmm. I not had that, I think it would, my whole self-sacrifice formula would have looked a lot worse.
Yeah.
But we start giving them the permission to keep doing it and to not be capable. And at the end of the day, we just want our kids to be capable, mm-hmm. and we need to believe that they're going to be okay. And we need to start treating them that they can handle it and start mm-hmm. believing it, because when we do that, then they start believing that they are capable.
Yeah.
So it's a terrible message to send to our kids when we participate in self-sacrifice and not caring for ourselves. And also, just to add to that, we start modeling mm-hmm. not to take care of ourselves. We start, and that's why self-care is like even a phrase, because we all forgot how to take care of ourselves.
Right.
Because we keep having these cycles of watching our parents not take care of themselves and making this world of self-sacrifice. And then we end up teaching it. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's why it's a thing now. And so we don't want to teach our kids that everybody else comes first and then you tend to yourself. We can't go on like that. So it really starts with us, right?
Yeah.
In breaking that cycle, taking care of ourselves and kind of modeling that for our kids.
I love that. I'm on board.
Yep.
I'm on board,
me too.
Girl.
Me too.
I don't see how I could have navigated the last 4 years of my life without a certain level of practicing, you know, and I'm a journaler too. I journal and I meditate and I've got some cards that I love and books that are inspiring to me and long walks. And I mean, I just would have been a wreck. I don't know how I could have, or I would be, like, life continues to life, right? Like life continues to unfold. And so I really am hoping that the listeners are really hearing, and again, another place to just take stock and be reflective and ask yourself if you're really struggling right now in relationship or just in the unfolding of life, what does it look like for you to take care of you? And are you making that a priority? And if it feels like, well, I can't, or there's no time, I would challenge you and I would encourage you to ask for help. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just want to mention one thing too, because you had, and I really want to share this with the listeners, because I really want to share my truth.
Right.
When all this was happening, of course, I'm tending to my kids and I am trying to practice as much self-care and self-love as possible. And the one thing I did put on the back burner was actually my relationship with my husband. And it was just because our relationship didn't make the top two slots in the list. And I mean, I love him dearly. We're super committed, but it's interesting now where we are in the process of, like, you know, we're in the Lyme journey. My daughter's, you know, pretty much like 90% healed, which is fantastic. And we're at this place now where we've had to revisit our relationship. And we just, even a couple of weeks ago, we had this really truthful conversation of, like, missing the connection because we hadn't been tending to the relationship. And I remember my husband struggling and saying, like, I just don't know, like, if you're connected to me, I just don't know if you love me or you're not in love with me. He's like, I'm just not feeling it. And I was like, I can't believe he's saying that. And I had realized that I had put so much love in myself, which is not a bad thing at all, but that I was really on this quest of empowerment. And he really felt like I didn't need him, you know, because I just had been going, and the train had left the station, and he probably was left back at the train station. And so we've had to reconnect. And that's just the reality when you have these issues with your kids and, you know, you're trying to work and you're trying to help them and help yourself and manage. These things happen. And it's just now I think the universe has made space for us to, like, get this relationship back into, like, clear connective mode. But it's not easy. And I don't want people to think that, like, I went through all of this without that being a struggle, because the relationship with my husband has been a struggle. But that's the reality. And, you know, you just keep working on it.
Yeah. And same, you know, I mean, that's, I remember a few years ago when high school started and things started feeling like, whoa, we're on a ride here. And we went and saw a marriage counselor, and that was the first thing she said. She said, your job when you have teenagers is to work on your relationship with each other. Otherwise, you know, and that was before we knew there was any mental health stuff going on. But, you know, that was, she was like, it's crucial. It's crucial because, one, your teenagers do not need you all up in their business all the time. And two... Right. And two is because this is the relationship that will be there when the nest is empty. Right.
Yeah.
And so I really appreciate you talking about that, because I think you're right. And I think it's a dance, you know, and I was picturing when you were talking about it, I was like picturing the, like, holding a bunch of balloons, like inflated balloons, and you have, you know, each member of the family is a different balloon. And sometimes there's different times when different balloons are closer to your hand. I don't know. That was my visual.
Yes. But wow, like, your husband
was just
that.
Kind of out there for a little while as you really tended to the ones. And but you still are holding that thread, right? We're still holding that thread. And it's just a matter of tending to the thread and pulling it back in and doing the work. Not easy, messy, vulnerable.
Yeah.
And like you said, especially when you know, like, we are in a solid, committed relationship, and that is intact so much so that we can say, wow, I'm feeling disconnected, right? Like, I'm feeling like, what can we do to tend to this? So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm going to ask you my last question that I asked to all my guests. And, considering all that you've shared in the context of your story and your work, what does joyful courage mean to you?
I love that term. I love the title. Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like, how do you want to live your life? You know, in love or fear? And I love the two words together because it gives you the permission to be joyful and loving and add some fun into the fearful moments of life where you need courage.
Yeah.
So, I mean, joyful courage to me is like, that's how I want to live. That's what I want to model to my kids.
Love it.
Love it so much.
Me too. Awesome. talk a little bit about where people can find your show and follow your work. And so, I want you to be explicit about what your offerings are too, because you have the podcast.
Yes, I have the podcast, Very Happy Stories. I'm launching season 2 next month, but awesome. Very Happy Stories is on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. And I'm also on social media. It's Very Happy Stories on Instagram, Very Happy Stories with Liza Blass on Facebook. And what I am offering on my website, which is veryhappystories.com, is a free download. It's my Thrive Guide. I basically put all my best practices into this free downloadable guide to kind of like kick off your journey, you know, out of survival mode and into thrive mode. And then also, I am working with clients already in helping them thrive. I call myself a thrive guide. And there's different variations of what I do, but most of the time it's when people just got a diagnosis of ADHD or, you know, something that's really rocking their world, chronic illness. And I kind of assess the situation and bring in the calm in the chaos and say, look, I know you got a lot going on. Here are your three top priorities. One, two, three. And kind of give them that map when you're drowning. And then I work with some other clients that are now like kind of in good survival mode. And they're like, you know, I really want to get back to work. I really want to be doing something else. And then I kind of help them navigate them with a map on how to get to the thrive mode.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's what I do. And I would love to work with your listeners. And it's just been so fun to chat with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on and spending time with me. And listeners, all those links will be in the show notes, so you'll be able to find Liza. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Stay in touch.
Absolutely, I will.
All right. Thank you again for listening. Don't forget, you can get the 7 tips for connecting with your teens, as well as podcast updates and offers from Joyful Courage, plus some humorous stories straight from the trenches of my life, by joining my email list, joyfulcourage.com/email. That's joyfulcourage.com/email. Do it now so you can be even more connected to all things Joyful Courage. And be sure to follow me in all the places. I love connecting with you on social media. I try to post things that add value to your life. So find me on Instagram, find me on Facebook. And don't forget to check out the membership, right? The membership for moms of teens and tweens at joyfulcourage.com/LJC. Enrollment closes the end of July. If there were any links that I threw at you about parent education, or the membership, or the email, just know all of them are in the show notes. So check the show notes if you didn't catch the links. And friends, take a deep breath, ride it into your body, release, find ease, find your balcony seat, lifting up and out for perspective, and trust that everyone and everything is gonna be okay. Big love to all of you. I'll see you next week.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down,
or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.